Good day, and welcome to the Barratt Trading Update Analyst and Investor Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Thomas, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for dialing in. Today, we're announcing our trading update from the period from the 1st of January to the 7th of May. Initially, just to say that we continued to see a strong performance, both operationally and also financially. Market conditions have remained very good, underpinned by continued improvement in the availability and pricing of mortgages alongside the Help to Buy scheme. We are now expecting total completions to be around 17,350 for the year to June, the highest level that we've seen in 9 years. Breaking this down, we expect around 16,650 wholly owned completions and around 700 joint venture completions. We are growing volumes, but we remain very committed to build quality and customer service. I'm very proud to say that this has been recognised by the award of our HVF 5-star status for the 8th consecutive year. We are the only major house builder to achieve this. Net private reservations per average week were 299 during the period, equivalent to a sales rate of 0.8. With a supportive market backdrop, we've grown volume slightly, and we've also been able to increase profitability. We now expect profit before tax for the full year to be at the top of the range of analyst estimates. That range is £675 million to £733 million. We've also been able to continue to build our forward sales position, with total forward sales, including joint ventures, at record levels as at the 7th of May, up 13% at £3.2 billion. On net cash, we now expect to have a higher year-end net cash position than previously guided at around £600 million. This is as a result of strong trading and also the timing of land and working capital payments. During the period, we launched 46 new developments and operated from an average of 384 active outlets, including joint ventures. Turning to land, we continue to find attractive opportunities, all of which at least meet or exceed our minimum hurdle rates of a 20% gross margin and 25% return on capital employed. We expect to approve the purchase of around 17,000 plots in the full year. On strategic land, we continue to make good progress and expect to continue to grow the participation of strategic land in the medium term. We continue to seek to defer land payments where possible and expect land creditors to be in line with our target of between 30 and 35% of the owned land bank. Finally, an outlook. For the full year, we remain on track to meet our target of a minimum 25% return on capital employed, and we remain very focused on our 20% gross margin target. The group's priority in the medium term is to drive operating margin improvements through an ongoing focus on operational efficiency. We will do this whilst remaining fully committed to maintaining our build quality and customer service. Finally, as I mentioned earlier, given the strong trading environment, we expect to deliver completion growth for the full year and expect that profit before tax will be at the top end of the range. I will now be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Andy Murphy of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Morning, David. I just had a couple of questions. On the land, you bought 17,000 versus a much higher figure last year. I was wondering whether you could give us a flavour of what that tells us either about the land market or Barratt's growth ambitions into the future. And secondly, I was curious to understand or have your thoughts on the rate of labour and material cost growth that you're seeing currently and what you think that might look like in a say, 6 months to a year's time. Thank you.
Okay, Andy, good morning. Okay, just in terms of growth, I mean, I just frame growth initially. I mean, we sort of refer to controlled growth. We see that growth rates going forward for the business at around 3 or 4% are achievable. In terms of land, we really had quite a long pause post the referendum. So bear in mind that for July and August, we were largely out of the land market. So we had originally guided that for the 10 months that we would be in the market, we would do around 15,000 approvals, and we're now moving that to 17,000. So I think what that says is that we've got good momentum and probably similar momentum to the prior year where we had around 24,000 approvals. In terms of cost, we've guided for the current year at 2 to 3% on cost, and we're happy with that through to June 17. Through to June 18, we still see the position as we saw in February, so around 3 to 4% to June 18. What we're seeing is some tick up in material price inflation compared to what we've seen over the last couple of years, and a reasonably stable position in terms of labour. I.e. increasing, but not increasing by higher rates.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
We will now take our next question from Chris Millington of Numis. Please go ahead.
Morning, David and Chloe, if she's there. Just a couple for me. I just would quite like a slightly deeper update on London. You know, perhaps you can maybe give us a feel as to where the order book is and just whether you see it as kind of a lesser drag as you go into 18 than perhaps it has been in 17. And the second one's just really about your point about focusing on improving margins, David. And I'm just wondering kind of how big you see the prize and, you know, kind of what may be achievable in kind of the medium term.
Okay, Chris, hi, good morning. I mean, first of all, in terms of London, I mean, I think we've, you know, consciously taken the view that for May, it's a trading update. We gave a very full update in terms of London and the regional business in February. And so but my overall view would be that there's been no change of any note in relation to London. So still a market where very, very strong demand for all of our homes at lower price points. And therefore, everything that we're building, we're clearly selling very quickly. At higher price points, it's a slower market than it was 12 months ago or 2 years ago, but really is a largely unchanged market from what we saw at the beginning of the year. In terms of improving margins, I mean, we're very conscious of what we're doing, and you know, I think we've got to put it in the context that we're announcing that we expect profits for the full year to be at a record level, that we've got a very strong forward order book, and we've clearly are saying that we expect record levels of cash. So I think you've got to put our aspirations to improve the business in that context. But when you look at margins and we look at the margins for our peers, we recognise that there are some structural differences where some of the house builders have got much longer land banks, and therefore they've got holding gains coming through the P&L, which gives them an enhanced margin. So I think the first lever that we're pulling that we see as being an opportunity is on strategic land, and we've grown the business from around 5% up to around 25% in terms of strategic land, and we believe we can continue to grow that. We're not setting specific targets, but we will continue to grow that going forward. I think then we just look at the conversion of revenue to profit and look at every component in that conversion process. And that particularly takes us to our house types and the costs of build. And as everyone is aware, we have launched a new Barratt house type range and a new David Wilson house type range. And both of those ranges will be in production during calendar 17, but will start to have a significant impact in calendar 18. And we're just going to continue to drive to improve those margins, and we'll obviously report on progress as we go.
That's great. Thanks for that. Cheers.
Thanks, Chris.
We will now take our next question from Will Jones of Redburn. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Morning. Three, if I could, please. The first is just around the average selling price of the private business in the order book, which has been kind of staying north of around 350 to 360,000 for the last couple of updates now. How should we see that in the context of, obviously, the first half, I think, through the P&L was under 300,000, and I appreciate London can distort the order book, but what can we take from that high-looking private average selling price? The second was just around site numbers, which look like they've been about 3% higher through the second half to date. Do you think that will be held as you exit the financial year, and how do you see that faring through FY18? And then the last one, really just around the political side of things, obviously ahead of the Tory manifesto, do you expect anything particularly new on housing, or do you think we got it all in the white paper, really? Thanks.
Okay, Will, hi, good morning. I mean, in terms of average selling price, so I think our reference point on average selling price tends to be the selling price that we have within the land bank. So when you look at February, the selling price in the land bank, which I appreciate is blended, private and affordable, was a bit under 270,000 in terms of the overall position. When you look at private, I mean, we closed last year at around 290,000 of private average selling. We definitely expect private average selling price will be up for the current year. So we were close to 300,000 in the first half of the year, and we will see further progression on that in the second half of the year, because bear in mind that we were down on completions in London in the first half, where we've got a very strong completion profile coming through from London in the second half because of the build program. So, you know, I think we'll just go back to the average selling price in the forward order book in September and guide on that basis. But we are seeing price improvements, partly from mix, partly from underlying.
Yeah.
Will, what was the second question?
Just around site numbers, really, at June and then...
Sorry. Yeah, so, okay, so site numbers through to June. We see the site numbers, the average for the year is going to be fairly flat. So we're not going to see any great difference in terms of site numbers. When you look forward for the business, right, if we're guiding that we can grow the business by, say, 3 to 5%, then the reality of that is that we are expecting to see movements in site numbers. Now, our big challenge in the last couple of years has been that our rate of sale has been very fast, which is clearly positive, but that's resulting in site numbers, sites closing more quickly. So we do expect to see growth, though, to drive the growth in terms of completion volumes. Okay, thanks, Will.
There was just the last one about any expectations on the housing element of the manifesto, if you have any insights.
Sorry, Will, I'm not just trying to ignore your question. Just in terms of manifesto, I mean, look, I think you step back from it and look at all of the political parties, everyone is saying that there is a need for more housing. So we expect that all the manifesto documents will be very focused on housing. I mean, I think it's a key issue in terms of the election. So from our point of view, we would expect that the parties will put in place what they believe are the right strategies to increase the housing numbers for the UK. We're obviously very clear because of the existing government strategy, that they will be focused in terms of help to buy, in terms of improving planning and the government land release programme. So we'll need to see the other manifestos in terms of the detail, but the reality is they will all say that building more houses is a high priority.
Great. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Gavin Jago of Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, David. A few from me, if I could, please. The first one is just a bit of a follow-up, actually, on that government point and around Help to Buy. I'm wondering if kind of what noise you had heard maybe in the run-up to kind of the announcement of the election and kind of any views on extension or tapering, so anything you got there. Second one's around planning and whether you're seeing any sort of slowdown around the kind of run-up to the election, anything at local authorities there. And finally, I appreciate it's just a trading update. Have you got any kind of bit more detail maybe on the regional pattern of where you've seen pricing moving? Obviously, you said overall you've seen some underlying inflation, but you know, is London, you know, certainly the top end, has that been softer or still where it is, and what have you seen in the regions?
Okay. So just in terms of... just in terms of planning and coming up to the election, I mean, we're not seeing any real impact in terms of planning. I mean, bear in mind, clearly, planning's not going to have any impact for us in the current year. So if there are any delays, obviously the election period is a relatively short period. So what we may see at a local level is that planning meetings are being moved from the month of May to the month of June. So it can't really be more than a one-month impact in relation to any application. So in the overall scheme of things, really, a kind of limited impact. In terms of Help to Buy, I think the reality is that there was no noise in advance of the election. The election announcement, our view was that the government were committed to the Help to Buy programme through until 2021. There was certainly no suggestion to us that they were giving any consideration to tapering prior to 2021. But I think there was some discussions about, well, what happens beyond 2021? And I'm sure after the election in June, we'll go back to that discussion in terms of what happens beyond 2021. I think that's the position. In terms of regional pattern, I mean, I think really I just say again that since we updated in February, we've not seen any change in trading patterns. And when you look at the environment in terms of house price inflation, I would say as a generalisation across the country, we've seen modest house price inflation. So low single-digit house price inflation, if you looked over the last 12 months. And I think that's pretty consistent with what we're seeing in terms of national stats. The only areas that we've seen any negative pricing has been the higher-end market in London on a very limited number of sites, which we talked about back in January and February. And then in central Aberdeen, where we have one development. I think central Aberdeen, the market has come off a bit in the last 12 months. Everywhere else, we've seen forward momentum.
Excellent. Very useful. Thanks, David.
We will now take our next question from Gregor Kuglitsch of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning, David. A couple of questions. Can I just... asked on the net cash. So I think sort of if I look at last year, obviously the sort of delays in land purchases, and then I think at the time it was similar in terms of completion. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the net cash probably was sort of impacted or favorably impacted to the tune of about £200 million. I don't know if that's a fair summary. Would you say that's the case again this year, and effectively you expect it to unwind in FY18, or is the 600 million cash guidance, which I think is sort of 100, 200 million higher than most people had, a sort of, you know, permanent improvement? I just want to understand whether we should sort of bake in a little bit of an unwind the year after. The second question is just maybe on targets. Obviously, don't expect you to issue them now, given that you haven't in your press release. But as we look forward into your full years, into September, I mean, can we actually expect you to issue a hard margin target? Because obviously you talked about margin improvement and you gave us some of the building blocks, but I just want to understand whether you intend to actually communicate on where you ultimately want to end up. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Okay, Gregor, good morning. Yeah, I mean, in terms of net cash, so if you look at the variation, I mean, I think broadly that from where we were in February, where we were saying cash up to 400 million, and we're now saying cash around 600 million. So probably three main parts to that. I mean, first of all, we are going to deliver a lot more private completions through our own P&L. So bear in mind that the change in guidance on completions is very much about our own P&L rather than joint ventures. So our joint venture guidance remains at 700 completions. So clearly those properties that we're selling for June, we had always intended to build, and we've bought the land, and therefore we're seeing all of the cash benefit coming through to the balance sheet. Secondly, some timing differences. We've got some significant land acquisitions where we would have originally anticipated that the payments would come through in June, and we'll now see the payments come through in July and August. And thirdly, we recently completed the disposal of what's effectively the final part of our shared equity portfolio, which is around £20 million of cash that's been received for that. So in overall terms, I mean, compared to the 400, some of it is permanent, and some of it is temporary around the July and August position. I mean, just to touch on, I mean, we recognize that we can't, you know, it's not our intention to run the business on a permanent basis with material amounts of cash, but you've got to put it in the context that our average net debt in the year will still be in the order of 150 to 200 million pounds. The June position is always the, you know, the sort of peak position in terms of cash. In terms of margin targets, I mean, I see the targets and the discussion in September as being more directional. I don't see at this point in time that trying to project hard margin targets forward on a 2 to 3 year basis is where we want to be. But I think what we can do is take the components that we're looking at, for example, new house types, and give some indication as to what we feel that they can do individually in terms of margin improvement.
Understood. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Clyde Lewis of Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning, David. Morning, Chloe. I think I've got a couple, if I may. Has there been any change in terms of sort of incentive levels? I suspect not, but just wanted to double check on that. Second one on land prices. I mean, David, I think you referred to being able to find, again, sufficient land that are meeting the hurdle rates and ROCE targets. But have land prices actually started to go up in the majority of markets around the country? And the third one was on labour supply. Again, sort of just update us as to how you're finding the availability of labour at the moment. I think you indicated that sort of labour pressures in terms of costs haven't changed very much, but just in terms of sort of supply factors, what are you doing in particular to try and build a bigger workforce in particular?
Clyde, good morning. Thank you. Just in terms of incentive levels, no. I mean, no change. I mean, we clearly monitor that, and there's no change in terms of the incentive levels for the business. In terms of land prices, I mean, the land prices have clearly been rising. What we've seen in the regional market over the last, certainly 12, 18 months, has been that land prices have not risen as quickly as you would expect relating to house prices. And I think that's been played out in data from Knight Frank and from Savills. So the regional land market has become more attractive, let's say more of a buyer's market. And I don't think we've seen any change in that trend. I think that there is plenty of land available. You know, there'll always be geographic exceptions to that, but there is, as a generalization, plenty of land available. and we're being able to intake land in the regional market well. In terms of London, we see that zone 3 to 6 is really our focus in London. We recognise from the stats that land prices in zone 1 and zone 2 have backed off substantially in the last 9 months or so, but we're not really presently looking in that market. We are much more focused in terms of 3 to 6. In terms of labour supply, I mean, again, the labour supply for the industry has been a long-term challenge. So our volumes have gone up as an industry from 90,000 in 2011 to round about 160,000 new build last year, plus conversions getting us to about 190,000. So it's a huge increase in volumes, and clearly we've had to find labour to achieve that. So for us, it's about bringing in as many graduates, apprentices and trainees as the business can deal with. We recognise that if we bring in too many, we end up with high leaver rates. And the first year leaver rate is key. So it's very important that we manage the first year leaver rate carefully. So in terms of apprentices, graduates and trainees, I mean, we will be running with around 5% of our workforce in those categories. So I think we would be, you know, sort of industry leading in terms of the number of people that we have in the business. And then on the other side of the equation, we continue to look at alternative production methods. So timber frame clearly is tried and tested. We've been doing a lot of work with light gauge steel frame and also with large format blocks. So, you know, we're building entire sites with light gauge steel frame and with large format block to see that we can really get it into production on a large scale basis. And that type of initiative clearly helps with regard to the skills challenge.
Okay, great. I mean, there's one other labour gap as well that obviously still exists in your business. Is that one going to get closed shortly, or are you going to be looking to ask the board to take two salaries for the jobs you're doing at the moment?
That was a very good segue into a fourth question there, Clyde. Look, just to say that, I mean, the process is ongoing. So we obviously have a search firm in place. They've been in place since February. We're looking at both internal and external candidates, and we'll update the market when we've got something further to say.
Okay, great. Thanks, David.
We will now take our next question from Charlie Campbell of Liberum. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, a couple of questions from me. Just wondered about your thoughts on average sites for the next financial year. Obviously, they've been flat in the year just gone, land purchasing picking up. So whether we ought to expect average sites to pick up next year. And then also on the same sort of vein, really, just thinking about sales rates and just wondering whether you really want to see your sales rate pushing on any further than where it is in this year, given the difficulties of building any faster.
Charlie, hi, good morning. I mean, in terms of average site numbers, I mean, I touched on earlier, I mean, our challenge has been we've been buying lots of land, but because the rates of sale, as you touched on, have picked up so quickly over the last couple of years, we've obviously traded through sites. So FY16, including joint ventures, we averaged 378. This year, we're saying that we believe we'll average 376. Now, if we're going to meet our aspirations in terms of growth, we've really got to meet that through site numbers, because I think it's unrealistic, as you touch on in terms of the second question, for us to continue to grow sales rates. We really need to get more sites open. So to grow the business by 3 to 5%, we've got to find those 3 to 5% sites. So we've got to see average site numbers start to move upwards over the next couple of years. That's key. And hence why we're very focused on bringing in more land and therefore more sites.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Christopher Fremantle of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, very quick question from me. Clearly a very confident update like some of your peer group. I wonder if you can just comment on the slowdown in some of the house price indices that you have seen in the last couple of months, and whether you think, you know, or whether you would expect that number to slow still further.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of look at the national stats. I mean, clearly covering the second-hand and also the new build market. So, as we touched on earlier, we've certainly seen low single-digit house price inflation. So the house price inflation we've experienced has been lower than the house price inflation we've experienced perhaps in the last 2 or 3 years. So that's the first point. I think the second point is that we're buying sites on an assumption of no house price inflation and equally no build cost inflation. So I think a fairly flat house price environment is not a concern to us. We see that the build cost inflation is manageable, and as we touched on, 2 or 3% for this year, 3 or 4% for next year. The only other point I would make is that, you know, there is clearly an absence of stock in the second-hand market, and that's well illustrated by the RICS survey and other commentaries. And, you know, I think that helps the house builder in that we have always got an availability of stock, and therefore we to some extent get an advantage where there is such an absence of stock in the second-hand market.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Kevin Canuck of Canuckus. Please go ahead.
Morning, David.
Morning, Kevin.
Two, really, I think I've got. Firstly, something which I suppose in fairness isn't in the statement, but whether you want to make any comment around it at this stage, I'd be interested to hear. And that is, obviously, you've had the opportunity to see what TW have done in regards their inverted commas onerous leases, and one or two other house builders have commented upon their situation in that regard as well. I wonder if there's anything you'd like to say at this stage on that subject. And secondly, and again, correct me, David, if I'm wrong, but it looks as if you're going to be of the order of at least 250 completions, sort of better than was indicated earlier, you know, earlier this year. And I guess I'm, you know, in view of what sort of happened elsewhere in the industry and in view of the tightness of the build programs as we know generally in the sector, I just sort of wonder what stage these additional completions would sort of generally be at. In other words, you know, is there absolute confidence that it doesn't, you know, stretch the build program unnecessarily, that there's going to be any sort of, you know, panic towards the last few weeks of the year end, etc. I'm just sort of quite interested in the state of play of those additional completions that you're anticipating for this year.
Okay, Kevin. Okay, hi. Right. So leasehold. I mean, we as you say, we didn't refer to it in the statement. I mean, I think our position on leasehold is relatively straightforward. We clearly have leasehold properties in terms of houses, but particularly flats. All of our leases are constructed on an RPI only basis. We have never structured leases on any other basis. We see that the ground rents that are charged are in line with market norms. So market norms set out recently by Nationwide, and we see no challenges with regard to that. And our lease durations vary up to 999 years. I mean, clearly a lot of them are not at 999 years, But again, we don't see any challenges with regard to that. So in overall terms, we felt that we just don't really have anything to contribute on the subject, and we don't see any particular challenges around it at present. In terms of the completions, I mean, clearly for us to deliver completions for June, they've got to be in our plan, and we've got to be foundations and superstructure in the ground pre-January. I mean, that's clearly got to be the case.
Yeah.
So look, we always are loaded towards the second half of the year. We've typically operated, you know, 55-57% of our delivery in the second half of the year, and therefore we tend to be loaded into May and June. But we are very, very focused in terms of our disciplines around customer service and build quality. And we have a lot of checks and balances in place to ensure that customers are not being moved into properties until they're ready to be occupied. So whilst I have no question that our teams have a lot of challenges in terms of delivery, we're confident we can hit the completion numbers.
Yes, sorry, David, it's probably somewhat misrepresented what I was, I suppose, underlying, trying to ask. If you take the additional completions, it doesn't equally strike me that there's been any noticeable impact in terms of the forward sold. So it's not, in a sense, it doesn't look like it's been a case of, oh, well, we can get, you know, 300 completions in this year that otherwise would have been in full year 18, if you look at how the order books moved. But is it, you know, is it a case that this early into the year that you can, you know, I suppose what I'm asking is you haven't been changing at any stage what your the point at which you're forward selling?
No. Sorry, I understand. No, not at all. I mean, when you look at our private forward sales, because I think with the forward sales, I mean, we obviously give that every time we announce, but when you look at the forward sales composition, so we're up by around 13%, but
yeah, it's about 10 on volume, isn't it? 10 about
correct.
10% volume. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. But our improvement in terms of completion volumes is very much coming in terms of private wholly owned. So private wholly owned in value terms were up 21%. In volume terms, less than 21%, but we're up by circa 400 units.
Yeah.
So that's where the improvement is coming from, and it's really just sitting in the forward order book as a you know, as at the 7th of May to be delivered through in May and June.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks so much.
No, not at all. Okay, thank you, Kevin.
We will now take our next question from John Bell of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Good morning, David. Just one follow-up really from me on the shared equity sale that you referred to. I just wondered how the proceeds compared to your carrying value and whether there was any impact on profit from that.
Morning, John. Just in terms of shared equity, so we entered into a joint venture arrangement a number of years ago on part of our shared equity portfolio. So this is the sale of our joint venture interest, i.e. 50% of the interest in the portfolio. We had already received a lot of cash proceeds on the portfolio from natural redemption, and the amount of cash receipt was around £20 million, and there was a very small book loss on that cash receipt of £20
million. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have no further telephone questions at this time.
Okay, right. I would just like to thank you all for dialing in. And as you know, we'll be back with a further trading update in July. Thank you.
Thank you. This does conclude the Barratt Trading Update Analyst and Investor Call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.